Today's Perek in Tanakh is Melachim Aleph Perek Gimel. The last thing we learned was Shlomo's brilliant moves to defuse the movement of Shimi ben Gera. But as we mentioned, Shimi ben Gera was also the Rebbe of Shlomo. And it's because of that that in this Perek we depart from the chronological order and we jump ahead to the time in which Shlomo has already built the Beit HaMikdash, because the next words teach us what was caused by the death of Shlomo, of Shimi to Shlomo. Vayitchaten Shlomo et Paro Melach Mitzrayim. Shlomo became now a mechutin with Paro and went ahead and married his daughter. Vayikach et Bat Paro. Vayivieh al Ir David ad kaloto livnot et peito vet beit Adonai vet chomat Yerushalayim saviv. And he kept her with him in Ir David until the completion of the Beit HaMikdash and his own home. And from here, the Gemara teaches us that kol zman sheshimi ben gera kayam, as long as Shimi was alive, Shlomo never got out of hand. And lo nasar Shlomo et bat paro, which teaches us that a person should always live l'olam yadur bimkom rabo. He should live around his Rebbe, who can then keep him in check. And the first thing, therefore, that we jump ahead to is the story of bat paro. But there's another more delicate remez here. And that is, you will recall that we spoke about the sending away of Aviatar to Anotot, and the way that Anotot becomes now the source of the Kohanim Asher ba'Anotot, which now is the undoing of everything that it was that Shlomo had done. And indeed, Yirmiyahu speaks about this moment. And he says, Ki alapi ve'alchamati, haitali ha'ir hazot, l'min hayom asher banu ota. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I've hated this city and I'm angry from the day that it was built. Why? Because that was the day that it was Nosei Bat Paro. Whereas the Gemara puts it, when Shlomo HaMelech took Bat Paro, Gavriel came, stuck a stick into the ground, which silted up and became Rome. And that was the beginning of the Rome that brought the final end to the Beit HaMikdash, even though it's the Beit HaMikdash HaSheni. But we view that as one hemshech, really, of an incomplete, destroyed Beit HaMikdash from the very beginning. So that means that the Kohanim Asher ba'Anatot were also involved in the next sentence, just as Shimi ben Gera was.
It became
Rome. No, it became Rome. It was built on a silted up area that had initially been Yom. That's what Gemara said. Raka'am mizabchim bamamot. Now this becomes later on in the VM. It becomes a refrain, but it becomes a refrain at the time of the Isur HaBamot. Here, what is wrong with the Am being mizabchim bamamot since the time of the Heter HaBamot? This is the period of No V'givon, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset at the fact that the Bamot was still mutar. Ki lo nivna bayit l'shem Adonai ad hayamim ahem. That Shlomo HaMelech would have put off for 4 years the construction of the Beit HaMikdash, which, as we saw, David HaMelech had left him instruction upon instruction with everything given over to him from Nayot, with the Yisodot already taken care of by David, with the money already in place, with the materials already in place. What in the world was taking him so long to start building a Beit HaMikdash? Vayehav Shlomo et Adonai. Now we get back to Shlomo as the king who was Mamshich Derech Aviv. Shlomo loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now this is a mutual love, because we found that Hashem was Ahevo, gave him the name Yedidya, Al Shem Hashem. So that means that the depths of Shlomo, we find here the choice of Shlomo, the involvement of Shlomo in the Malucha, is that he truly did fill the space that David had left. And he went ahead, lalechet b'chukot David Aviv. He followed all of the ways of David, which is strange, because later on it says, b'feyash v'lo haya levavo shalem im Hashem Elokav kelevav David Aviv. So indeed, the Medrash says in the Seder Ayilon that is the difference between pre-Bat Shlomo and post-Bat Shlomo, and that he was done in with this. And that he was done in by this loss of Shimi, and that he indeed lost his way. Vayelech HaMelech Givona Lizboach Sham, Kihi HaBama HaGidola, Elefolot Yale Shlomo Ala Mizbeach. Now this is something that is varied. David HaMelech never went to Givon to bring the Karbonas. In the Reayomim, it's mentioned that he had a representative of the Malchut there to see to it that the Karbon Tumid was brought on the Bamat Zibur. But that's all. Shlomo HaMelech seems to have a love affair with bringing Karbonot. And as a matter of fact, if you recall, when David HaMelech said about himself that people say about me, Matai Yamut, Ve'avad Shemo, and I say, Halavai, there should be a Beis HaMikdash. The sooner I die and get out of the way, the better. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, one day of your learning Torah is worth more to me than elef alos that Shlomo has asked it to bring. So that means that we see initially a contrast between David HaMelech's concentration on the nature of the Arayin HaBris, which was the main thing that he was Isaac in, not in Karbonas. He was never Isaac in Karbonas. The only time that we found him bringing Karbonas was in front of the Arayin to smooth the way for the bringing of the Arayin to Yerushalayim. It required the whole end of the Mifkad, at the end of Shmuel, to force David into relating to the Mizbeach. And it was Dafka the Mizbeach that would be the Mizbeach in the Goren Aravna Yavus, not the Mizbeach that was the Mizbeach that had been built by Bezalel. In Divrei HaYomim, this pasuk is much more detailed. And it talks about how Shlomo would turn to the Mizbeach that Bezalel had made in the Mishkan by name, so that Shlomo HaMelech was taken up with a completely different vision of the main idea. The main idea was to him, a mokum, to bring the karbonos, and he was very focused on that, so that he didn't take the steps initially that David HaMelech had taken, which were steps towards the development of the Hashras HaShchina in Yisrael. Instead, he focused on the Avod of Yisrael. The Arayin is Torah. The Shechina is built around Torah. It comes on the Arayin. It doesn't come from the Mizbeach. So that means that they had very different focuses. Now, B'Givon, Nir'ah Adonai Shlomo B'Chalom HaLaila. And it was in Givon, it says in the Medrash, that Shlomo HaMelech had fasted 40 days so that he should be zeicha to have the type of chokhmah that would allow him to be the king that he wanted to be. And so after he had fasted and brought these korbanos, Vayomer Elohim Sha'al Ma'atin Lach, ask me and I shall give you what you desire. Vayomer Shlomo, ata asita im avdecha David avi chesed gadol. You did an amazing chesed with my father David. Kasher halach lefanecha be'emet uvitztaka uviyishrat levav imach. Because he followed you in truth and in righteousness and in wholesomeness of heart. Vatishmor lo ata chesed agadol hazeh, and you kept for him, because of that, this immense chesed in which I find myself today completely out of my league. Vatite lo ven ven yosheva kisei kayom hazeh. V'ata Adonai Elohai, ata imlacht at avdecha tachat David avi. You have given me that not because of anything in me, but because of the chesed to my father. V'anochi nar katon lo idat seit vavo. I'm a child. I don't have an idea of what I'm supposed to be doing here. It wouldn't matter, perhaps, if I were a king over Goyim. So, fine, you pick an idea, and you follow the idea. But I'm not a king over Goyim. I'm in the midst of a vast nation that you chose. Am Rava Shelo Yimanev Lo Yisafer Merov. How am I going to handle this? What I want is only one thing. Give me a responsive heart with the intuition. I need to immediately recognize the difference between good and evil and not to get caught up into intellectual games. If I have to figure things out, say Chazal, I mean, people are going to come, they're going to ask me questions, and I'm going to have to learn the entire sugya. I have to understand their business, have to understand where they're coming out. It's impossible. There's millions of people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy that Shlomo had asked this. Vayomer Elohim Elav, Yan Asher Sha'alta Tadavar Hazeh. Because this was your focus. V'lo Sha'alta Lecha Yamim Rabim. You didn't ask for long life. V'lo Sha'alta Lecha Osher. You didn't ask for riches. V'lo Sha'alta Nefesh Oyvecha. And you didn't ask for the lives of your enemies. V'sha'alta Lecha Havin Lishma Mishpat. What was important to you was understanding, to be able to hear justice. Hine Asiti Chidvorecha. I have done what you asked. Hine natzati lecha leif chacham v'navon, asher kamocha lo haya lefanecha, v'acharecha lo yakum kamocha. I have already given you a heart that has the type of insight that no human being ever had before you, and no one will have after you. V'gam asher lo sha'alta natati lach. Even those things which you didn't ask of me, I give you freely. Gam osher, gam kavod, including riches and including honor, asher lo haya kamocha ish b'amlachim kol yamecha. There will be no one your equal all the days of your life. Those things I give you unconditionally. But the things that I initially said, I can only give on condition. This is what I said in the Torah. Levilti surban ha-mitzvah, leman yarich yamim ha-mamlachto. I can't change that. And those things are conditional. Ve'im telech bedrachai. If you will also keep the mitzvahs, walk my ways, l'shmor chukai u'mitzvotai, kasher alach David avicha, then I can also be mekayim v'harachti yamecha. So the other things that you didn't ask for, besides the yamim rabim, the osher, the kavod, those things I can give you without conditions, because I never said in the Torah that those are conditional. But arichat yamim on your malchut, that is dependent on you, and there's nothing I can do to change a t'nai in the Torah. Vayikat Shlomo, and Shlomo suddenly awoken. V'hine chalom, and he recognized that the dream had come true. How did he know that the dream came true? Because, say Chazal, he suddenly understood everything around him. He would see phenomena that he had no idea beforehand that they even existed, and he suddenly understood what was happening. He would listen to animals, and he would understand what they meant. He would listen to birds chirping, and he would understand what the signs were between the birds. So he immediately understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given him some type of intuition that no human being had. Vayamod lifnei Aaron Brit Adonai. Here is the first time that Shlomo HaMelech, because of this new level of insight that was given him in Gibeon, finally comes to stand in front of the Aron, as David was wont to do his entire life. And there, for the first time, Vayal Olot, Vayash Shelamim, Vayas Mishteh L'chol Avadav, from where we learn the din of Asiyam. From here we see that you make a siyam osim su'uda legomra shel Torah, because it was given to him b'matana, all of that chokhmah. And so this was the change, and perhaps this is what was missing in his inability to focus on building a Beit HaMikdash. Because as far as he was concerned, the Mizbeach still worked. The idea of a whole new level of presence of the Shekhinah, he himself writes to Hiram in a letter in Divrei HaYamim. I mean, obviously we can't really build a home for God. It's a place to bring karbonos. It's fascinating. And indeed the Rishonim say maybe he was only writing that to Hiram. Maybe he understood that it was more than that, as we'll see in his tefillot later. But the fact is that clearly he is torn by this issue, just as Moshe Rabbeinu was. What is the meaning of creating a space for the Shekhinah? And Shlomo HaMelech too mentions Beferish in his tefillah. Shamayim u'shmei ha-shamayim lo yechal kalucha. Hafki ha-bayit hazeh, this is crazy. How can I have a home for HaKadosh Baruch? So it took him this time to recognize what David was talking about his whole life. He was talking about building that bayit. And for the first time, Shlomo now has the heart to begin to relate to a bayit for the Aron HaBrit.
This is all after he married Bat
Paro? No, the marriage of Bat Paro is out of order. Az tavona shtayim nashim zonot al ha-melech vata'amodna lefanav. And then, as a demonstration of his lave, there came now too, now in the Medrash, Rav says these were not real people. This, because nobody could be like this. It's too crazy. It must have been that they were shadim that were sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to provide a demonstration of what Shlomo is, it's too nutty. But what happened is, kipshuta, and there is a man Yomar who says they were mamash zonot. And indeed, as the Rishonim point out, zonot normally not only don't care about other children, they try to get rid of their own. Now, they're not interested in getting pregnant, obviously. So these two zonot come to the king. And they stand in front of him. Vatomer Aisha Achad. One of them says, Bi Adoni, please, my master. Aniva Aisha Zot Yoshvot B'Bayit Echad. We were both there in the same pimp place. Ve'eleidi Ma B'Bayit, and I and she both had children in the same house of prostitution. It was on the third day of my giving birth. This woman also had a child. Nobody else is there. There's no one I can bring as a witness in that house. It was just the two of us. She rolled over on her child one night and killed him. Vatokom batocha alayla, she gets up in the middle of the night, vatikachet b'nimetzli, takes my child from me. V'amatcha yishena, and your servant is asleep, vatashkiveo b'cheika, takes my son, puts it now on her, that b'na hamet and her dead child, yishkiva b'cheiki, she puts now on my breasts. Vakum baboka leidniket b'nivinei mate. I wake up in the morning to nurse my child, and he's dead, v'tbonina lav baboka, and I look at him in the light. V'nelo ayav, v'niha shayaladit, this was not my child. Atomar Yishachar, the other woman says, this is not true, ki v'niha chai. It's my child who is alive. Uvnei chameit, your child was the child who died. And then they start arguing with other men. Lo, kivnei chameit, your child is dead. Uvnei achai. But the daberna lefnei hamelech, and they're sitting there arguing in front of the king. Vayomer hamelech, zot omeret ze bnei achai, uvnei chameit. Now let's get this straight. This one is saying, this is my child who lives, and it's your child who is dead. Vizot omeret lo, kivnei chameit, uvnei achai. Your child is dead, my child is alive. So from here we learn that you have to review the ta'anot of the Baalei Dinim before paskening. But as the Malbim points out, Shlomo is repeating it so that the audience should hear what is wrong. And he's saying, listen carefully. One of these women is focusing on her child. I have a living son. The other one is focusing on the dead child. No, no, your child is dead. Is that what a mother says? Your child is dead? Is that the issue? Isn't the issue my child is alive? What's the difference whether your child is dead? The first one who said my child is alive only says your child is dead because of what she was claiming. So saying it's not true. My child is alive, I tell you. That's her focus. The other one is only interested in the other woman's child being dead. Vayomer HaMelech, Kuli Cherev, bring me a knife. Vayavio HaCherev Lefnei HaMelech, they bring a sword to the king. Vayomer HaMelech, Gizrat HaYeled HaChai L'Shnayim, cut the child into two. Utnu HaChetzi LaAchat VaChetzi LaEchad, give half to one and half to the other. Now everybody thinks this is a brilliant move. It's obviously an absolutely mad move. And Lamaisa, as the Medrash points out, Rabbi Yehuda quotes Rabbi Loya saying, if I was there and I was a member of Sanhedrin, I would have stood up, I would have arrested Shlomo. Guy's mad. I mean, and what if they wouldn't have responded that way? And what if the guy would have come and really cut the kid into two? This is sick. You can imagine the audience, the gasps. It's not just gasps, it's, oh my God, a 12-year-old idiot.
Out of the box.
I mean, it's not just out of the box, it's sick. I mean, you really think that one of these women is going to say, yes, cut him. I mean, obviously nobody is that dumb. So here is a child risking his entire future on a guess. It's mad. Absolutely mad. That's what they think. It seems impossible that anyone would fall for this. And it's more, the Medrash says, he acted this. He acted this out beautifully because he wanted to give them time to respond. And he starts to say, now look, you may have noticed that children are made with two eyes, two ears, two nostrils. They're obviously meant to be cut into two. So what's the big deal? So he made it more and more insane as it went along. But meanwhile, to a woman who was maddened with the hatred and desire to destroy the child for this other woman, it starts to add up in her brain. The woman who really had the living child says to the king, because all she cares about is b'ni hachai. Never mind. Please, sir, just give her the child. Please don't kill him. But the other one says, yes, yes, gamli gamlach, lo yeh, let neither of us have him. Cut him into two, Izoru. Nobody expected that react. The king says, give her the living child, and do not kill him, for she is the mother. And Chazal say, he can't say he imo. It was a bat kol that appeared there in front of everyone and came out announcing she is indeed the mother. He imo. Vayishmu ko Yisrael tamishpat asher shafat hamelech. And so in recognizing the profundity of his insight and the fact that he took no risks here whatsoever, he knew exactly what he was doing. He had instantly now assessed the state of mind of both of these women. He understood exactly how far he could go and at what point they would respond. They were simply awed. Vayir umi b'nei ha-melech. They no longer knew how to, they couldn't even guess what he would do. Kira'u ki chochmat Elohim b'kirbo lasot mishpat. They saw that mishpat to him went beyond the intellectual entirely. There must be something otherworldly about him that it was within him that enabled him to see justice. This is something, of course, that comes out Yemot HaMashiach, and that is Murach V'Doyin. He sniffs justice without needing to intellectualize justice. This Chochmat Elohim is what he had been praying for, that it should be a Lev Shomea, because on an intellectual level, this was the same idea as Pascal's wager. He's got everything to lose, nothing to gain, essentially. What he gains out of it is so small. Keneged, what he loses if this doesn't work, what's he going to do? Say, stop, I was just kidding. Oh, well, I tried. What's he going to do? It would be the end of everything. So to risk such a thing on the basis of an intellectual understanding is insane. And that's exactly, even that he could get away with it as long as he did. But what were people thinking when he's talking about this business? Well, he's got two arms, he's got two legs, he's got two, what's the problem? Huh? So clearly what he saw is what he saw, not what he thought. And that's why it was terrifying to people that he could act in that fashion. But what's more amazing is that initially he was brilliant. How he handled Shimi was unbelievable. But it wasn't Lev. It's that he asked now Lev Shomea, a completely different way. So that the Chochmah that he had in his Rosh, the Medrash talks this out, the difference between Rosh and Lev. What's the Makor of Chochmah? He says, my head I have, my brains I have, and they're not going to be enough. What am I going to do? Work out everybody's business to the extent that I can give a judgment on a Yisrael, where if I make a mistake, ve'akov koveyam nafesh, you take one penny, shalom kedin, and you're chayav misa. How am I supposed to survive this? And everybody's going to be coming into the gate, and I'm supposed to know something at 12 years old. I'm very smart, and therefore I can figure everything out. Nobody can figure everything out. No matter how smart you are, there's simply not enough data. I need something entirely different. What I need is a Lev Shomea. I need instant responsiveness. What it is that he was, that Shimi claimed to be, I hear. He didn't hear a thing. I want to hear. So even that part is connected to the end of Shimi and was meant indeed to make up for it.
So was it on the Sof Shimi?
That's right. It said it was 40 days of Ta'anit that he tried to work this out for himself, which must mean that during those 4 years, there was a lot going on in him. So now he's 16 years old, by the time he's ready to build it. These things changed him. He was not the same person at that point that he was when he started this out. And David said to him, I know you're very smart. He tells him when he's 12, before David dies. Look, Yishchachamata, Aseke Chachmatcha, I rely on, that's all very nice, says Shlomo, to deal with one particular issue. Yes, I can work it out. But how am I supposed to deal with millions of people? I'm Rav. How am I supposed to deal with that? It's a beautiful story of his assessment of himself, seeing himself as a Nar Katan, seeing the development of himself. So suitable for being the son of David. This is the one time you really feel this is the Shlomo we're looking for. It's a very moving parak.